Hey everyone, how you doing? I just wanted to give a quick introduction to this because our guest, me and her, right out of the gate, just kind of went in the interview, and I like hit record 3 minutes after we're like already talking deep about stuff. The guest today, we talk about virtual assistants, ethically using the Philippines people for virtual assistants, how to acquire it, her story of her stroke making her paralyzed, and it's just let her tell a story. Here she is, Michelle.
Welcome to the Josh Bolton Show, where we dive into interesting and inspiring conversations. And now, your host, Josh Bolton.
We recorded well. No, I haven't paid for that. So actually, I'm curious before we actually start serious. You said you have become a master in automation?
Yeah, automating a lot of business processes that save business owners a lot of time.
Like how? Like in what aspects?
Yeah, so a lot of times there are tools out there that can do something almost as good as another another human. And so what we do is we combine like virtual assistants with automation. And by doing that, we're able to basically automate all of the processes for the business owner. So for example, let's say social media, right? That's like a huge time sucker. Mm-hmm. There are tools out there like Buffer and Hootsuite, SocialBee, that you can basically put everything in buckets and it'll just set it on autopilot and just run. For me personally, I use a company called Entreport. And so it's like Infusionsoft or Keep or something like that. But what it does is it integrates very well with Zapier. Are you familiar with Zapier?
I've heard the name. I know of Buffer. That's actually what I recommend to a lot of my entrepreneurial friends from martial arts, because they're like, we don't have time for that. I'm like, just write out the message and then tell it when to go, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so Entreport is kind of next level stuff, right? So you're putting that social media out to probably get them to some type of lead magnet, right? Mm-hmm. And so then what Entreport does is once they go to that lead magnet, it will set up a follow-up email sequence. But the cool part is that's nothing really all that awesome. It will actually categorize how hot your leads are based off of what they do inside of that email. So did they click on it? Did they click on an actual link in it? Then there are human triggers. So we don't send the next email until they click on the link. So it's not time-based, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is actually really awesome.
Yeah. So how many times have you had somebody who like missed an email and then 3 days later they get the next one and they never opened the first one and it just looks bad? Or what's even better is somebody didn't show up for a Zoom meeting and then it sends them the, hey, thanks for meeting. And so inside of there, it'll automate all of that. So if they didn't show up for the Zoom meeting, it will send them a rebooking link. If they did show up to the meeting, then it sends the thank you. And mine actually goes to a service where it mails them a card automatically. Then from there, it'll actually send them a link to book the appointment to become a client. They'll fill out all the information that they need to onboard and it gets sent right to my team and actually creates a folder for them. So the onboarding process is all automated as well. So I literally have probably automated 80% of my business.
So I've also noticed you had an assistant contact me. So how would you be, let's say for me, how would I vet out a good assistant? Because you could pay someone, but are they actually going to do what they're paid to do, kind of thing?
Yeah. So that's actually what we specialize in. So the automation was just a necessity for me building a lean company. Our company is actually, that's what we do. We find, hire, train virtual assistants for people. And so there are lots of ways that you can do that. So I actually last week, kicking the dog. last week, I just launched my book that is basically A to Z on how to find, hire, train, and manage a VA in the Philippines. So how to know you're getting a good one. How are you going to vet them? How are you keeping track of what they're actually doing? Are they doing the work that they're saying they're doing? So that's kind of all in there. Created a course that goes over that too. And then we have the easy done for you button where we actually do it for you.
For nominal fee?
So it depends on what you're looking for. So the book is $19.97. The course is $9.97. And then for us to go find you a VA, we charge $5.75 to go find and hire them. Then the deal is they stay on board for 3 months while we help with the training and go through the bumps. That is $13.50 for 20 hours a week. That's the monthly price.
Right.
Or $2,700 for a full-time assistant. Then after 3 months, you have the option to buy out their contract, which is basically 3 months of whatever the fee is. So it ranges from $5,000 to $8,000. Then at that point, instead of paying the $16.75 an hour that we charge, you would pay their hourly rate, which is typically $6 to $7 an hour.
Wow. Yeah, that was my next question. What would be the typical rate for one? Because like for me, I'm not cash flow heavy with this whole thing. So it's like that. Humanely, what would be the lowest price I could pay? So.
Yeah. So humanely, probably $4 an hour. But if you want somebody who's good quality, who's going to really get your stuff done and be like the expert that you need them to be, you're looking at $5 to $6.
That's less than half of what we normally make here in minimum wage, at least for me in California.
Yep. Yep. And that's the reason why we go to the Philippines, right? Is because the US dollar to Filipino peso conversion rate is so profitable. So plus English is their primary language and they're very immersed in our culture.
Yeah. I had a friend from the Philippines and, they were saying like her mom was worked for the US government, but lived in the Philippines making $20 an hour. And she's like, she lives like a king. Or queen, like she literally owns a ton of land.
Yep.
Is that she invested in fish farms. And I'm like,
yep.
Well, 20 here barely gets you a burger kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. So on average, somebody working minimum wage in the Philippines will make $7 a day working full time.
Jeez. That is legitimate slave labor right there.
So that explains to you why she makes so much money and lives like a king and can afford to invest. Right. Because when, and it's just the difference in economics, right? So, we pay $2,000 to $3,000 a month for rent. They're going to pay $400 a month for rent.
But that 400 is completely different to our, 2000, right? Well, is it 400 US or 400 their pesos?
US. Okay. Yeah. US dollars.
I thought it was the conversion. You haven't done the pesos yet. Never mind. But that's still, yeah, like you're making $7 a day. You would have to work two jobs just to get rent done.
Yeah. And that's why I'm a huge advocate on why we built the company that we built, because I won't pay anybody less than $5 an hour, plus pay for their health insurance and their retirement. And in the Philippines, you can only get a loan for a house or a car through a specific employer-sponsored program. So we pay for that too. We give them paid time off and we pay the conversion fees, the transfer fees when we transfer the money from US dollars to Filipino pesos, which is completely unheard of because most people look at the Philippines as slave labor. I'm trying to do the exact opposite in that I'm trying to way overpay them. So they're making about equivalent to $50 an hour in the United States, pay for all their benefits so that they can afford to educate the next generation. So we're breaking the cycle of poverty is what we're trying to do.
And still, not to sound like narcissistic or mean, you're paying them what they perceive as a lot, but for us still, it's like what a true minimum wage with all fees and stuff in the end.
Correct. Yeah.
That's actually impressive. I want to go more into that because I agree to beat the cycle, you have to do something different. You have to, if it's a circle, you have to go straight kind of thing.
Yep.
So just real quick, how does, because I know the Philippines in general does not have a good health system in general. How does, or am I might have just heard it from a wrong region.
Yeah, it depends on where you're at. And now typically, so it's kind of the same as here, right? If you go into Manila, which is one of the largest cities in the Philippines, they may potentially have better healthcare than we have.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they have very good healthcare there, but it's also expensive. but if you go to some of the other smaller towns, yeah, it's going to be not good healthcare. So what they have to do is they have to travel into the city to get good healthcare. Kind of the same thing as us. Like tomorrow, for instance, I'm going to Seattle to go see my neurologist. My neurologist lives 8 hours away from me, but I'm willing to travel 8 hours because he's that good. So,
yeah, when you know there's a doctor that good, it doesn't matter if you need to go to like Germany or Japan, like you just do it kind of thing.
Yeah. So same thing happens in the Philippines.
Interesting. Okay. So we touched a little earlier on the virtual assistance integration. So you were talking to different prices. From what I could gather, it's about $20,000 for the year to get everything done with you. Kind of thing compared to I go on my own roughneck and hope I find a not sleazy virtual assistant.
Right. Yeah. So I had a stroke. So I end up, one of the things is horrible at math. So give me just a second.
I can't visualize math. It's all good.
Give me just a second to add that up. All right. So let's say we did part-time, right? Is 50. Okay. So it would be okay, so for part-time, if we hired somebody, they worked for you for 20 hours a week for 3 months with our agency, right? And then you paid the $5,000 to buy out their contract. That's $10,775, right? So then we have three. We still have 9 months out of the year. So if we're paying $5 an hour times 20 hours a week times 4 times 9, that seems low. Hold on. Because it's only part-time. That's why. Yeah, so five times 3,600 plus. So if you went through our agency, then hired them and paid them the $5 an hour, it would be $14,375 to have a part-time assistant for an entire year.
That's okay. I'm sorry. That's like super cheap but very good.
Yep.
Wow. So then full time would just be double whatever that was. And you would include a little bit for health and benefits and all that.
Yeah. So typically, in addition to what I pay them, I give them an additional $80 a month, and that covers their health insurance, their, SSS, which is kind of a combination of our 401k and Social Security. So if you put the two of those together, that's called SSS for them. That helps them put money towards that loan program. So we would do that. And then the last thing is typically they're paid in Asia. They're paid something called a 13-month bonus. Are you familiar with what that is?
Never heard of it till now. Please explain.
Okay. So a 13-month bonus is something in Asia that is a bonus at the end of the year. So whatever they would make for 1 month, that's basically their bonus that they get the beginning of December. And they use that to pay off their debt by their Christmas presents and be able to have their holiday season. And so we call that a 13-month bonus. So that if you chose to pay that, you don't have to, but it's usually a really good idea. It would be $400.
So I'm taking it that one very good virtual assistant, I was going to say VA, it's the same thing, but it literally would just cost you out of pocket, what, $400-$500 a month?
So if you wanted somebody full time, that's going to be 800 plus 80 is 880 a month times 12 is 10,560 plus the 800 for their 13-month bonus. So your second year, mm-hmm. right? Because you already have them in as employee, you don't need to pay us our fees anymore, right? It's $11,360 for full time for a year.
11,600?
11,360.
Three. I didn't hear the three at all. Wow. And so then actually, I'm not trying to like bypass you, but it's like, let's say someone goes to the Fiverr and it's like, they promise it. And that's where I've seen this, and it's, gets scary seeing how much people willingly just give up their information. Mm-hmm. Is Fiverr the better route, or it truly is to go to like an expert like you and just pay the nominal fees up front to vet a good one?
Yeah. So what I do is just a skill set, right? It's the same thing as being a good graphic designer or being able to do a logo. My skill set is I'm really good at being able to find a good VA. And so I have a 5-step process that I put them through when I interview. So they have to pass like 6 hidden tests that they don't even know they're going through. And then we're going to actually pay them to test them. I'm going to hire based off of personality type. Right. So I take a look at the DISC profile and make sure that you guys are compatible. I take a look at what is their skill set. Can they do the job? What do they need trained in, and what's it going to cost me to train them? And then, you know, how are we going to track and manage them? If you know how to do all those things yourself, you should not hire me. Absolutely. Because it's would be much less expensive to go do it yourself.
But yeah, I have no idea. That's why you're here explaining this. And probably a good portion of the audience is now just sitting there going, what the heck? Kind of thing.
Yeah. And see, that's the cool part is like everybody kind of has their superpower, right? And so, you know, the time that you would spend learning that skill set, how much time could you take that and do what you're really good at and turn that into more money, right? So mm-hmm. for me, I deal with a lot of 6- and 7-figure business owners. And for them, it's a no-brainer, right? Because for me, charging a $5,000 fee, that's peanuts for them to be able to find a really good VA that's going to plug into their system. They don't have to spend the time to vet them to learn the skill set. And so it's really all about, you know, where do you want to spend your time? Right. Because you're either mm-hmm. going to spend time or money, one of the two. So,
and it's easy to get money. It's not easy to get time.
Correct. Yep.
So then I'm curious, because this is one thing just offhandedly other guests have mentioned, like you should get an assistant, but like I'm sitting here going, I'm minimum wage. It's hard enough for me to pay for rent kind of thing.
Yeah.
How am I going to afford an assistant? But from what you're saying, that I'd have to live simpler, but I could actually pull it off. So the integration of your VA to whatever system, let's say you fully vet a good one for whoever, like, do they have to know MailChimp or something like that? Or is it like, I asked for this kind of thing within the 5,000?
Yeah. So that's the nice part about working with us is I'm going to interview and ask you, what are the pieces of software that you use, right? Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and find a VA who may have experience in that. If they don't, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to MailChimp. I'm going to find their tutorials and I'm going to put the VA through those tutorials is what's going to happen. But a lot of times, like for instance, last week I hired a gentleman for a company who needed somebody to know Salesforce inside and out. And so what I did was when I went and hired, that was my, you know, one of my top qualifications, must be an expert in Salesforce. And so what I did was I actually found a guy who had 7 years of customer service and 4 years of Salesforce experience for him.
What? So literally me and Bliss, anyone else listening could just be like, hey, I need someone good at like mailing list, not required, but it'd be nice if they know website and could maintenance the website and whatever. And you could go vet those basic three. Like I said, the second one's not required, but it'd be a nice kind of thing.
Yeah. So how I handle that is because everybody's website's different, right? There's like 1,000 plugins that you could use. So what I do is I have you sit down with me and walk me through the process step by step. How do you do it? And while I'm doing that, I'm actually extracting information from your brain that you don't realize I'm doing. Because as entrepreneurs, we make micro decisions instantly and we don't even realize it. And even though we think we're awesome, we're really bad at communicating usually.
Yes.
Just because we're running Mach 12 with our hair on fire and we're trying to get all this stuff done and we don't slow down enough to take it out step by step. So what I do is when I do my onboarding process, I actually force you to slow down. And I say, all right, Josh, we're going to get on a call and you're going to show me step by step how you do each task. Then what we do is my team takes those videos and we actually turn them into standard operating procedures for you. And here's the super cool part. So we're going to go through and we're going to take that video. We'll post that video at the top of the standard operating procedure. Then we're going to go through and have it step by step with pictures. Point here, click here, do this. So that we could then take that document, hand it to a complete stranger on the street, and they should be able to duplicate the task exactly as you showed us how to do it in the video. And the reason we do that is a couple of things. A, it's really good for every business owner to have standard operating procedures. We all know this, but nobody takes the time to do it, right?
Right.
And so what we do is we just do it for you. So we're creating your business manual as we're going through the process without it actually being cumbersome for you, right? Because it takes a lot of time to put those SOPs together. And so we actually hand them to you. So we're like, here you go, Josh. You know, here's the tasks that you gave us. Here's the manual to do it. And here's your VA. So if for some reason your VA, I don't know, doesn't work out, something like that, goes on maternity leave, you have a document that shows someone else step-by-step how to do it. And so what I've done is, without you even realizing it, I've created a training process so that you never have to train again for that task.
So then actually a good point. Like you said, someone might have gone out on maternity leave and you have nothing against it, but it's like you still need an assistant. Would I just call you up again and be like, hey, can you give me another one? Would it be the same 5,000 fee, or was it because within a certain time frame, you're okay?
Yeah. So what typically happens is if something like that would happen, we already have the SOPs. We just plug you into our system rather than finding you your own personal VA, right? Because if it's maternity leave, they're only gone for 10 weeks and then they're back, right? So you just need a temporary buffer. So we would just fill you in with our team. And so that would bridge that gap. The other thing too, is I have some business owners who actually never want to pay the fee. They just want me to, they would just rather mail me a check at the beginning of the month. I'm going to handle all the management of the employees. I'm going to take care of payroll. I'm going to do everything. And they don't even want to mess with it. For $16.75 an hour, it doesn't make sense for them to have to bring it on to their HR, deal with all that stuff. So a lot of times people don't even buy out the VA. And so when they stay with our agency, we train three deep. And so we actually have a project manager who's trained on all the tasks. And then there's another VA who can overlap with the tasks. So if somebody does go out on maternity leave, we have somebody else who's already trained who can just pull up that SOP for you and do that task.
This is just absolutely fascinating and stuff I just would never have thought about could actually be achieved. So actually, I want to pivot a little to tie into why you're such an expert. You were, I was actually watching your Matchmaker FM video. So can you go into more about the stroke and what happened?
Yeah, sure. So I'll preface this by saying I used to be the world's worst delegator because nobody could do it as good as I could and they weren't going to do it right. And so if I did hand something off, I ended up redoing it myself. And so I didn't believe in delegation. I was like, whatever, this is just a waste of time. And then, I had a stroke. And when I had that stroke, I literally went from an MBA in finance to a second grade education overnight. It was like somebody had just taken an eraser and just erased what was in my brain. It was gone. And when that happened, at that point, I was working a full-time job and had like a little side hustle going. And I realized I was going to lose my side hustle if I didn't figure out how to delegate. And, but in addition to that, I had to figure out how to delegate every single part of my life because I live in a super controlled environment now. I don't remember in the morning to brush my teeth. I don't remember to feed the dog. I don't remember. So I actually have systems set up in my house that'll tell me, hey, Michelle, it's time to take your medicine. Hey, Michelle, it's time to drink 8 ounces of water. Hey, Michelle, it's time to let the dog out. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was it took actually 3 years to get better. And during those 3 years, what they taught me in occupational therapy and physical therapy was how to systematize my life and how to rely on either other people or other pieces of software to be able to help me to do that. And so what happened was when we had outsourced my life, like my personal life, we realized, well, heck, why can't we do this for business? And that's how the business actually got was built. It was completely on accident, right? Because my friends saw me have a stroke and get 80 hours worth of work done in a week. And I hadn't done any of it. And they're like, Michelle, how the heck are you doing this? And I said, well, I'm not doing anything. What do you mean you're not doing anything? Well, I outsourced it all. Well, what do you mean you outsourced it all? Can you teach me how to do that? Sure. Why not? Right. And it just kind of took off from there.
So interesting. What did you, for your 80 hours a week, what did you outsource? Like, was it writing, social media, et cetera?
Yeah. So my little side hustle was actually a blog. And so what I was doing was before the stroke, I was writing blog articles with affiliate links in there. Mm-hmm. And when I had the stroke, I'm not able to write anymore. Which is an interesting story. I'll tell you how the book got published because I didn't write it. I did, but I didn't. So I actually hired a full-time writer and then I hired two part-timers, one to do graphic design and one to build a website. And so what had happened was I had somebody doing blogs full-time. Then I had somebody doing the graphics, not only for social media, but also for the blog posts. And then I had a web designer who would take the blog posts and then upload them onto the website and do the keyword research and all the SEO stuff that needs to be done.
Right.
And so what had happened was by doing that, I was able to put out roughly four to five super high quality blog posts a week with the social media posting. And again, I use Social Bee. So what they did was my team was trained that once they made the graphic to upload it into Social Bee so that it pushed out to all the channels. So it went to LinkedIn, it went to Instagram, it went to Facebook, right? And so what happened was we were just generating free organic traffic. And and it just slowly started to grow. You know, what started out as, you know, $10 or $20 in commission a month turned into a couple hundred, turned into, you know, what it is today. So that was kind of where I started was with the writing. And then I realized the writer can't do the graphics, or if they can do the graphics, it's going to be real minimal. Right. And right. I wanted something that was good. And then what ended up happening was once the website was built, I actually taught my writer how to do the keyword research and how to upload everything. And so what happened was it started out as three positions. And as we got good at each one, I taught my writer how to do the other two. I taught him how to do the graphic design, and I taught him how to upload it to the website and how to do the SEO and the keyword research and stuff. And so I was actually able to turn that whole thing into one job. And so it slowed us down a little bit. Right now we only get like three blog posts a week, but they're super high quality and he knows how to do it start to finish.
And it also means you can indirectly pay him more because he's doing the work of two other people.
Oh, I absolutely do. Yeah. He's the second highest paid guy on my team.
Wow. I'm assuming you're the first.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Third highest.
I was gonna say, wow, that he must've been with you since like day one.
Okay. That's another topic for another day.
Okay. But I'm curious now, actually, that's one thing I've always, it's funny in general, I can write and it is fine, but like sentence structures, grammar, not my thing. So I've thought about doing a ghostwriter, but I've like gone to different sites and like, oh, this is like 50,000 or it's going to cost you 30 cents per word. And I'm like, well, how do I know you're actually going to do something and not plagiarize a book kind of thing? So how right. did you go about it?
Yeah. So I used software. I used Grammarly Premium to help my VA with sentence structure, commas, things like that. Then I'm trying to think of, there was a plugin that I put on my website that I paid for. And what it does is it goes through every single blog post and it checks it to make sure that there's nothing else like that on the internet. So they couldn't That's have used an article spinner. They couldn't have plagiarized. It catches all of that. And so I knew when he uploaded it, it would send me an email and say, hey, this is 98% original content. But in addition to that, I had also the thing that I hire for is personality, team, and ethics. And so when I interviewed Noriel, I had basically put him through the grill. How are you going to find information? How am I going to make sure that, you know, it isn't plagiarized? And he had actually been a writer for 5 years for a newspaper before I found him. And so for him, like, it was kind of a no-brainer, like, oh yeah, that's a really good way to go to jail. I not only was it a culture fit, but I also used the pieces of software to keep him honest.
So I'm curious, because you mentioned earlier the DISC personality. Why that mm-hmm. one over Myers-Briggs?
Well, honestly, price. Sure. So for DISC, there's a lot of it doesn't cost very much to have somebody take a DISC profile. Whereas Myers-Briggs, I believe it's like $60 to $100 per test. Mm-hmm. So it's just a financial thing. Myers-Briggs is actually a better test than DISC, I would guess. Because it's more in depth. I don't want to say it's better. It's more in depth.
It compartmentalizes from what I've noticed. Because like I took DISC, that's the reason I asked for that. One of my martial arts training buddies, he's in insurance, and how he vets people is the DISC, and he just has them go on whatever free website and he's like, do it, be honest, send me an email of it and we'll continue from there.
Yeah.
And so I took it real quick in front of him and I said, oh, I'm the DC. He's like, oh, you like observing and monitoring? And I'm like, yes, that's so weird, how'd you know that? He's like, it's because of the combination. If it was C, you yep. like being in the trenches kind of thing.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, the majority of entrepreneurs are usually, if they're visionaries, they're usually DI, right?
Okay.
And then if they're observers, they're usually DC. And so what I have to do is I usually have to hire somebody who is SC. because they're the person that is okay with finding the needle in the haystack, making sure, tracking everything, making sure that it gets done, making sure that it gets done right. They're okay with tedious detail and consistent repetition. They don't like change. They want things to be exactly the same all the time.
That's impressive. I've never thought of it that way. You're right. I think of things in a general picture. Well, you tell me what the tree looks like and it's like, I don't know, it's a blur over there kind of thing.
Yeah. See, I'm the same way. Like, if I have to, if I'm balancing the books and it's a penny off, I would rather give you a penny than go find that penny. So what I need to do is I need to hire somebody who they think it's fun to go find that penny.
Yes.
So that's what I do is so when I'm pairing people together, what I do is I take, I find out what your strengths are and then also what your weaknesses are. And so I go hire a strength where your weakness is.
Okay. Just from that whole story from earlier and now, completely, if you do have the $5,000 to sit around, completely worth it to give it to you, plus what, another $2,000 for the training period?
Yeah.
So worth it. Yeah, this is something I would probably never figure out in my lifetime. Or by the time it's too late, then it's like, oh shit, well, could have just saved me a headache or two and just called someone up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the funny part is outsourcing really isn't difficult. It's just a time consuming skill set. And most people don't have the time to learn it. And so that's where we come in. We help you save that time.
Interesting. Okay. So I'm assuming you specialize in specifically VA. Well, let's say I came in and said, I want to hire two, but I want specifically VA. Truly just do assistance work, the details and all that, but I also want a full-time writer in the Philippines kind of thing. Can you do that or you just prefer this assistance?
Yeah, so I can hire a writer. Things that I'm not good at hiring, and I'm happy to tell everybody this, is if you need a coder, if you need somebody who is, I tried once to hire an illustrator for a gentleman and he wanted like a book illustrator. And that is just not my superpower, right? Because I could care less that the line is like not exactly parallel to, right? I'm like, right. It's good enough, right? So that was not a good thing for me to hire for. So virtual assistants, writers, basic web designers. Yes, anything more technical than that, not your girl.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like coding, that's just, you got to know someone in the group and just understand you're paying a premium because they've spent pretty much their whole life learning this. So cough up, but you're going to get the best kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Python's not my thing.
God, no. I tried learning that during the lockdowns and that was just, if you put one period in the wrong place, the whole code breaks itself and you're like, what did I do wrong though?
Yeah. Yeah. That is a special skill set of people who can do that. And it's not me.
those are truly the attention to detail. They like staring at the abyss and watching the stars move and be like, I got you now.
Yeah.
So other than that, so you were saying earlier, you had a finance degree, a master's in finance.
Mm-hmm.
So what were you doing for work before you started this business with your degree?
I was a project controls engineer for a large construction company. So it was my job to make sure that the crews that were working were on time and under budget.
So kind of what you're already doing now, but not as stressful.
I would say what I do now is less stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was bad phrasing. I was saying what you did before was more stressful. What you're doing now is less.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. Cause where I worked, we usually spent through $1 million before 10 a.m. So it was pretty stressful.
Oh my God. 10 or one?
10 in the morning. Yeah. So we would start at 6 and 4 hours into it, we already had $1 million in costs typically per day. So if we closed down for like a snow day, it typically cost us about $4 million.
That's one thing people don't realize about construction. And it's millions are just, that's casual. That's like chump change now kind of thing. And it's I listen to podcasters who do hedge fund network, and they just casually throw $100 million. I'm like, the fact that you don't flinch when you see $100 million just disappear means you have way too much money to play with.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's, it was actually a great job. I loved my job. It just, wasn't what I was supposed to do.
So was that one where you were predominantly in the office calling people, be like, hey, why the hell is like the crew over by so many hours? Or were you actually in the trenches going like, stop, like we need you all to clean up your act because we're over budget kind of thing?
Yeah, I was actually in the trenches. So I was on site every day. And so a lot of it was reporting, right? So we were at the computer taking a look at the reports, and then we would have to figure out, okay, these numbers aren't right. Something's off here. You guys build for, 10,000 linear feet of pipe, but there is no way that you did that in 8 hours. So we'd have to go out and take a look at the pipe and figure out, okay, wait, all right, you're fudging your numbers. Like what really happened? Kind of a deal. So.
Yeah. No, and that is, especially because you were using copper pipes, right?
Oh, it didn't. Didn't we really were building matter. A nuclear power plant, so we used all kinds of pipe. It didn't matter.
It's just so casual. Should we build a nuclear power plant? Okay. Yeah. That would make more sense. Cause I'm saying for a home, like a construction for a home, it's usually copper.
Oh yeah, no, this is $1 trillion.
Okay, that explains the 4 to 10 million a day, just nothing. Okay.
Yeah, much larger project.
Yeah, that's the deep money that we'll never in normal lifetime see. Nope. So then actually I want to tie into something. This is, sorry, my brain makes the weirdest connections. So with all this streamlining, because ultimately you've learned to vet people to trust them. Let's say someone with trust issues because they've hired before, but they didn't know your knowledge for approaching this. How would you calm them down in a sense that like, you just like, if you pay me the money, I will make sure your virtual assistant or writer is honorable kind of thing?
Yeah. So that's an interesting question. And usually it's the opposite. Usually I have to work with the owner and deal with their trust issues versus finding somebody who isn't a scammer in the Philippines, for instance. And a lot of times the reason it didn't work the first time is because without even realizing it, they set their VA up to fail because they didn't take the time to slow down and explain, and they expected their VA to be a mind reader. And when they didn't do things exactly the way that they thought they should have, rather than explain and try to help them, they just got frustrated and did it themselves. And so my job is to actually pin down the entrepreneur and painfully walk them through the steps so that they can become a good communicator. And by doing that, what happens is it's almost like the blinders fall off and they realize, oh, that's why it didn't work the first time. Right. And so it's not necessarily I need to find the good VA. It's I need to retrain the entrepreneur to think differently.
Interesting. No, yeah. Most of the guys in my studio, they're all in their head. You could literally give them the meaning of life and they're just gonna be like, that doesn't make sense. I'm going to keep going. So it would.
Well, say no, that sorry. Again.
So they're so stuck in their head. Like you could give them the definition, the meaning of life, and they'll look at you and be like, that doesn't make sense. And just keeps going.
Yeah. And that's where my job comes in, right? Because I have to sit down and I have to play devil's advocate with them and say, okay, you told me this. So if I go do this, that's okay. And they're like, well, no, that's not what I meant. I said, but that's what you said. I can infer that you actually mean go post this on social media, but that's not what you said. And so I have to actually get them to slow down and break it down. And because what's happening is because I'm an entrepreneur, I think like they do. right?
Right.
And so they're skipping three steps. And so they're saying, here's the graphic. Okay, I need them to the people to click on this link to go to this web page for the traffic, right? Well, you skipped about seven steps in there. And so, and what happens is when we hire a VA who is an SC, they like detail. They want to know exactly what to do. And they want it. That's exactly what they're going to do. So if you tell them, I want you to take this graphic, give it to people to click the link, they're going to email it to somebody, right? They don't, you know, it's, and that's probably a bad example, but
no, I get what you're going for though.
More often than you would think, because we skip steps. And so that's where I kind of have to stick my thumb on you and say, okay, slow down. This is what we do. And so then I can translate. That's the reason for the 3 months of bringing the VA on, because right. I can translate what the entrepreneur is saying to the VA. Okay, he actually means this. And then I go back and I'm like, okay, Josh, you skipped these three steps. And so what happens is the 3 months is not even so much training the VA, but it's also training you. So.
Right. So then I'm just curious, is it kind of like one big Zoom call like this, where you just, that we essentially, let's say whoever, they get on and they're talking to you, they just spill their guts, or is it through a series of months and calls and being like, hey, so thank you for saying this, but actually you needed to explain 1, 2, then you skipped 4, went back to 3 kind of thing.
Yeah. So typically what happens is we have a couple onboarding calls in the beginning, and they're usually about an hour a piece. And then after that, what happens is as they give us more tasks, then we're going to go through them and I'm going to send back an email and say, okay, Josh, this is what you said. Did you mean this? And if you meant this, these are the steps that are missing. Is this what you want us to do? Please confirm.
So it's usually a call or is it an email for those?
Like when it's usually an email.
Okay.
At that point. Because at that point, you've got the idea of what I'm trying to do. And so we can send, and usually I'm not sending that email. Usually our project manager is. And so Tanette's going to send you an email and she's going to say, hey, Josh, I just need you to confirm this is what you want us to do. Is this correct? And then you'll take a look at it and you'll be like, well, no, that's not what I meant. But, okay. I meant this. Then we go make the adjustment.
I'm just curious now out of story principle. Have you ever had like a person where you just keep saying, no, I meant this. And then you adjust it. And they're like, no, I meant this. Then you adjust it kind of thing. And it just keeps going.
Usually I will do that a couple of times and then I fire the client.
How do you fire a client?
Very easily. This is not a good fit. I'm sorry, but I need to teach you. You're not being trainable. And so if you really wanted to learn this skill set, we could do this, but I don't think this is necessarily a fit. You're looking for the exact identical copy of you. That's never going to happen. And so this probably isn't going to work out.
So would they, I'm just curious now, like refunds, do they get a refund or is it because you use all your time and effort and paying the person, they don't get the money back?
So any hours that we've put in, they don't get a refund for that. Anything that's extra that they may have paid ahead of time, I issue a refund for that.
That's extremely fair. Yeah, I was going to say you're taking what, like 3 months prepaid, and let's say they only use like a month. So it's like, but then you got to take your fees. So maybe you only get 1,000 back from the 5,000 kind of thing.
Yep. Yeah. So we don't even, I don't take the 3 months up front. We bill monthly. So
interesting.
Let's say it's 2 weeks in and I'm like, hey, Josh, you know, this isn't going to work out. I'll just give you the 2 weeks back that we didn't use.
It's extremely fair. I'm assuming your assistant does the billing for you.
I have a person who does the billing full time. Yeah, that's her job.
I'm going to say at this point, it sounds like we just, all the entrepreneurs listening just got to call you like, okay, I got these fancy people. How much is it going to be a month for us kind of thing?
Yeah. You'd be amazed how many people actually do that. They'll start with one and they'll be like, okay, now I need somebody to do bookkeeping. Okay. Now I need somebody to do this, lead generation is another big one that we get. I need somebody full-time to do LinkedIn lead generation for us. Okay. No problem. You know?
So then same process, like the monthly, or if let's say for some reason the entrepreneur, like you said, the big wigs, the six figures a year, they just say, hey, can I just pay you annually? And didn't they get a small discount kind of thing? Or is that just they pay annually? They don't have to think about it the rest of the year.
No, we just, we like to make things nice and simple. So we just put them on auto bill and the bill just goes out monthly. And typically they have their credit card on file. So it's not like they have to even think about it. It just auto bills.
And then they just pay whatever the bill is at the end of the month for the credit card. That's ingenious.
Yep.
This has been brilliant. I'm definitely going to have to get you on in the future just to go into more details and trends in the future. Anything you want to like plug or talk about on the way out?
Well, just maybe a tool to help you guys, right? Okay. 'Cause a lot of times the question that I get all the time is, you know, that's great, Michelle, you told me I should delegate, but I don't know what to hand off first. And so what I did was I went through and I created a very simple way to do that. It's just an Excel spreadsheet that takes inventory of everything that you do for a week. And then we figure out, okay, is this something I can delete? Is this something I can delegate? Or is this something that I absolutely have to do myself? And so what I do is I actually have three videos that walk you through the whole spreadsheet, and they're short, they're 5 minutes a piece. And so by the end of that week, you'll know exactly how many hours you can get back, and you'll know exactly what tasks to get off of your plate, so that you can then take that time and move it into where you're actually making money. So if you go to awesomeoutsourcing.com/task-discovery,
okay,
that will give you that Excel spreadsheet and those three videos for free. There's no cost.
I will definitely have to follow up with your assistant for all the social media and all that too.
Yep, absolutely. No problem. Tanette will hook you up.
Well, thank you again. And like I said, we're definitely getting you on in the future. This is a very powerful topic that many entrepreneurs and just people in general should know about.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it too. Stay safe and stay well.
All right, take care.
Bye. Well, congratulations. You made it to the end. You're an awesome person. Not many make it here. So, being the awesome person that you are, can you do me one more awesome favor? Can you rate and review this on whatever podcast services you're using? App, if you do it on Apple and you leave an actual written review, I have a thing on my website. I will take your written review and post it for all to see. Congratulations, you're permanently sealed on my site. Otherwise, I am trying to do YouTube more and live streaming. I will try to put as many of the YouTube links in the description of the show as I can. So give your boy some extra help over on YouTube. Watch my videos. I just mute it and change the channel, change the window or something. But yeah, that's it. Thank you for being awesome, and see you next time.